Imagine for a moment that yesterday you received a phone call from a reporter who, because of a sermon notice in the local paper, has decided to come hear you preach about Columbus and how he was not such a very nice man. Imagine that you were advocating for, instead of having a Columbus Day, the citizens of North America should rise up and have an Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm not sure if you would have second thoughts about every word that you had written, or how your message might be misconstrued, but if you did, maybe you would make the call, go with it. The appointed Sunday arrives, and you look out into the congregation, and you narrow in on the aforementioned reporter sitting there politely taking notes the entire time and trying not to feel anxious. Don't misstep. Don't ad lib. Stick with the program. The postlude is played, and the reporter dashes out the door before you have a chance to introduce yourself, maybe answer a question or two, and maybe add some subtleties to your message. Nope, they're gone. That is when one begins to hold their breath. The minutes tick by like hours, and it is only later in that afternoon when you receive a link to an email to the article. You read and read, and maybe your heart skips a beat a few places. Oh, I can't believe she wrote that. The reporter may have missed one or two salient points, and there are a couple of things that were just maybe not quite right, but all in all, it could have been worse, and well, okay. You breathe out a sigh of relief. Glad that experience is now behind you. Behind you. No issue. All good. The next morning, the affronting Columbus Day arrives, and clearly a slow news day. You wake up to your phone ringing off the hook. Hello, Reverend, this is Joe from NBC. We want to get a camera crew out to the meeting house. Can you meet us there? The next call comes in 10 minutes later from Evelyn Hoosett. I'm not really sure what her name is now, but from NPR, who would like to bring you on to radio to speak about Indigenous Peoples Day. Blink, blink. You have got to be kidding me. My inner voice chides, people need to hear this message. Put on your big girl boots. Mm-hmm. That was me 1 year ago today. I don't see any reporters out there this morning. Otherwise, I'm going to hold my breath starting now. No. I could not have predicted that what I thought was a benign weekly sermon blurb, what I call a blurb, it's a description, would be so captivating. I chose to speak the truth about Columbus, about empires exploiting the peoples of the New World and turning them into slaves for greed, profit, and worse. Let's expand on this imagination exercise for a minute more, and let's imagine that you wake up early one morning and you go outside for a walk in the woods. Your favorite place that is part of what you would consider to be your lands or your neighborhood. And someone, insert random stranger here who does not look like you or speak the same language, has set up a camp, pitched a tent, and has a big bonfire going. Okay, that's not so bad, right? But then you notice that they've begun to cut down the trees and are going to build a home. Without right or discussion, they have claimed the land. It is now in their possession. And possession is 9/10 of the law, right? If you try to get beyond the language barrier and the cultural barriers to speak with them about it, they get all defensive and they pull out their weapons and they point them at you. Maybe that's what the Indigenous people felt like when they encountered the first white explorers. I've come down to the beach, my beach, and there you are. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, from both sides, actually. I try to understand what it might have felt like for the explorers to show up and to start to move into respective areas, and then to notice there's other people there. I try to make it personal so that I can feel the emotion of the situation, like put myself in their shoes. I try to imagine what it might have felt like to have someone set up tent, say, in my backyard, and try to claim my land. I think I'm fairly patient. And I try to share, but I think I might get a bit irritated if I woke up and looked out and saw a tent on my lawn. And then a fire. And then, of course, I would immediately feel badly about getting irritated, because that's who I am. One might call the police and have the offenders removed, but the native peoples did not have that option. They did not even consider that an individual person could own land. They didn't get it. They're like, what? Huh? What if the roles were reversed? Say I need a place to stay. I find a new world. I set up a camp in your backyard. And I need to be warm and to cook and to build a bonfire, say, on your front lawn. Okay, maybe it would be going a bit too far to chop down your trees and start building a home, but isn't that what the colonists actually did? They landed and claimed, set up a government, and started expanding. They hunted, they fished, they farmed the land that was already being lived on for centuries by other people. And these immigrants didn't necessarily understand the concept of shared lands. And frankly, they were afraid of difference. And the native peoples were just a step outside of what they knew. Here is the kicker. When the pilgrims landed, the native peoples wanted to share the land. They taught them to farm and even gave them corn. That is where Thanksgiving comes from, a holiday that the native people now lament. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving. They grieve on Thanksgiving. Columbus and his men showed up and took whatever they wanted in the worst way that one could imagine, and I mean the worst way. They had no respect for human dignity nor human life. It breaks my heart that North Americans still teach a sanitized version of the history of Columbus in school and celebrate the exploits of such a disreputable person. He wasn't a good guy, not even close. Okay, so how does one transition from that sentiment? Do you remember what it was like to be on the playground? And in our foraging, we find the best toy ever. Just lying there, absolutely discarded. Eureka! It's mine. We claim it. And then you hear someone call out, hey, no, that is mine. Is it really? It was not in your hand, and I found it, so really, it's mine. Do you remember the playground confrontations over a swing, or the top of the jungle gym, or even a basketball? It's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. It is a perfect Darwinistic testing ground where the strong rule and the weak and the meek get the broken toys. The attendants and teachers patrol the yard like guards, keeping the peace on most days, trying to keep us safe and teach us not to hit one another and to share. We were like feral cave children eking out our place in society. Now, on the other side of domestication, in adulthood, we wonder, what should one do if you see little Susie rip a coveted toy out of Johnny's hand, and then when Johnny balks, which of course he will, she shoves him into the dirt and threatens him with a five-finger knuckle sandwich. Like Lucy from the Peanuts gang, remember it? She gave us five reasons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lucy was the Peanuts gang bully, and everyone was afraid of her. On that playground, what would be the right thing to do? give Susie what she wants and commend her for being entrepreneurial? Or admonish her for being a bully? Or let's go one step further and tell her she's not being ladylike. Turn it around. What if Johnny is the offender? Of course, we will all discourage violence. And this would be a perfect time for a lesson on sharing and boundary setting. I fondly and with some fear and trepidation remember the playground, and I turned to Robert Fulghum, who wrote All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And he shares a list with us. He didn't share any of the negative stuff, mostly positive. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. What happened with that one? Live a balanced life. Learn some, think some, and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day. Some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out in the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice, even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all. Do you know what it is? Look. Everything you need to know is there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and equality and sane living. Everything you learned in kindergarten. So here is my question. If this is what we learned and this is what we try to teach our children, then why do we allow bullies of Washington and Wall Street and the towers on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan take away our power just because they can? The bullies of the world stockpile money and food and all the toys while people starve in this world and live outside in inclement weather. One has to wonder, haven't the top 1% been taught to share? Why is our history built on the premise that the strong survive and get holidays named after them while the weak serve? Why do we think it's okay for empires to fragrantly invade and manipulate nations that have resources that we want? And then those same nations refuse to give aid to countries that are desperately in need of our aid because they have nothing to offer us. I believe that there are a whole lot of adults in this world that need a time out. And maybe they even need to be put to bed without supper. If we will not tolerate this behavior in children, why do we tolerate it in our leaders? How is it okay that we teach our children one thing and then try to ignore a history that is built on genocide and slavery and watch the world news and see the bullies all over the world posturing? Aren't we better than that? Don't we know better? And then I think about walking out of my front door to someone camped on my lawn with a big fire pit dug and Bambi spitted for dinner, and I get Rambo-esque. I hear my inner child screaming out, "Mine!" We want what we want, but at what cost? Where is the golden rule of compassion in those moments? Where is our willingness to share what we only rent by paying our taxes and maintain for a lifetime? We have this illusion that this land is ours. I think that the native peoples had it right. We cannot really own land. They had possession, and the colonists took it and pushed the native peoples onto reservations. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Who does that really protect? So if the bully grabs your land, money, freedom, you can either relent or fight for your rights. Columbus was a bully. And he had committed such atrocities to the Aboriginal people of both North and South America, many of which are just unspeakable. Every year since I entered ministry on this same weekend, I am committed to reminding us of who Columbus really was, a bully. And I call for those of us in North America who have a holiday honoring him to wake up about all of this. And instead of honoring him, we should mourn with the descendants of the native peoples who suffered at their hands. As people of conscience, it is up to us to recognize the bullies of this world and to call them out. Why? Because we know better. And at one point in our lives, each one of us has been in the sights of a bully. And it's not okay. How many people have actually been in the sights of a bully at some point in their life? Right? It's not okay. It's not okay. It may be harder as adults to tell who the bullies are. They're kind of sneakier. But if we watch their posturing, we can uncover their ultimate goals. And that truth will set us free. I can think of one big bully running for president right now. Or maybe two or three. Really, these are our choices? Join me tomorrow in not celebrating Columbus Day, the day we honor a grade A bully. Instead, choose to do something for someone who's been a victim of oppression at the hands of a bully. Share yourself and your treasures with those in need, and be on the lookout for those who exploit for their own benefit and gain. Seek your truth to their perceived power and speak it. Last year, for but a moment, I had the ear of our larger society. It was a nanosecond. My message came across in sound bites about oppression and indigenous people. The news media didn't really want to print the truth. They just wanted a voice, a face to fill the space. I wasn't able to break through to wake people up, to impassion them. I think I was naive to think that I would be given that opportunity truly. But with you here, I share that I believe with my whole heart that if we know and feel compelled enough, we will work, speak, and stand on the side of love together. We will refuse to celebrate the bullies of our history, and together, by refusing to blindly accept what is thrust upon us by the powers that be or the bullies of our present, we just might be able to make a difference in our future. For this we pray. May it be so. Amen.